Amen. Thank you, choir. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here and we're gathered in the house of the Lord. I'm going to just tell you a quick story before we get to our text. The story is intimately connected to what I've been learning and teaching with you for the last several weeks. You remember a couple weeks ago, I was in Target and I was a little bit judgy. Do you guys remember that? A little bit judgmental about all the people in line getting batteries for their diabetes meters. And so I had a little something to say about that, okay? But I got corrected by God in the parking lot. All right, everybody remember that story? So I was in Target this week getting some medicine for my cold. And as I'm walking back to the pharmacy, there's a mom and a dad and two beautiful blonde-haired boys getting in line for the checkout. And they are thin, skinny, nothing but skin and bones. And through my head goes, those two need some ding-dongs. So I'm not kidding. That stuff really happens to me. But this time, I didn't even make it back to the pharmacy before God went slap-slap. So that is part of what I want us to learn, is not how to be like me, except in that I am becoming aware much faster of the things that need to be improved and how that happens. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that this week. As a summary, I asked one of the young ladies, and she's going to read for us this morning, Emma Holroyd's here, she's going to read a little bit. I asked her to tell me last week what I said. Because if you were here last week, you all know I said a lot. I said a lot. There was a lot to take in last week. And so she showed me, and if you would, Nancy, show this. She showed me what she calls her big notes page. These are her big notes page. This is her one-line summary of what I said last week. And it says, the verse is up in the corner in a little cloud. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So I was talking about listening. Then her big note is, I am a sinner who needs a Savior. And that's her summary of everything that I said last week. And I'm like, there's somebody who's listening. There is someone who's listening for God to speak to her. And her little line down here is, I'm not supposed to be like everyone else. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. The door is narrow. And so we're going to continue to talk about that. When she sent me this note, I went, oh, she got it. She was listening. So I asked her if she would read our text for today. So Emma is going to come up and she's going to read from Luke chapter 15. The title of today's message is Even Lost Things Can Get In. Right there, hon.
Good morning. Let me set up here. Good morning. Okay. So Luke chapter 15 starts. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 others and go into the open country after the one lost sheep until he finds it? And then when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls to his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And then when she finds it, she calls to her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property evenly between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there they squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I here am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the lost son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked them what was going on. 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered to his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Amen. Thank you, Emma. Before you sit down, I asked Emma to do this, and I gave her some provisions. What did I ask you to do? Say in the mic.
You asked me to practice.
How did you practice?
I read it in the car with my family.
You practiced. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I asked her to read it. How many times do you think you read it? She probably read the chapter 5 times before she got up to read. And then I asked her to practice it out loud. So Steve got to do that. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
All right. Good job, hon. All right, so we're talking about listening. And the 40-day challenge that we're going to have, I'm going to hand it out at the Ash Wednesday service, is a challenge to learn to listen. And so for 40 days, we're going to practice some things, because listening is a skill set. Listening to another human being is a skill set. Listening to God is a skill set. It takes practice and maturity to become an expert at listening to God. From Ash Wednesday through Easter, that's what we're going to do. We're going to practice listening for God, okay? And one of the things I asked Emma to do was, when she's going to read the scriptures, to read it over and over and over. That's a form of listening. And so there's a lot of little disciplines like that I'm going to share with you, starting on Ash Wednesday, so I encourage you in that. All right, so we're on chapter 15 now, and it begins with Jesus again. There's a lot of action whenever he has a dinner, and so he's having a dinner, and and he's eating with the wrong crowd. You guys got this, right? So as he begins to teach, there's the first sentence tells us there's two different kinds of people here. And they're identified. And for many years, when I identified these people, I identified them as the sinners and the righteous. The sinners and the righteous. The tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees, right? The sinners and the righteous. Well, that's not quite accurate. That's not exactly who's there. Because it works more like this. They're all sinners. It's not the sinners and the righteous. It's something else. There's something different about this. It's those who acknowledge that they're sinners and those who refuse to acknowledge that they're sinners. That's who's there. And one of the keys to holiness, to not being like everyone else in the world, is this acknowledgement that I need a Savior. I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. And quite honestly, you can't get through the narrow door until that happens. That has to happen. As long as you think you're righteous, you're on the wrong side of the door. And your behavior is really less relevant than your heart. And so here we have now Luke again telling us there's really two kinds of people Jesus is talking to in this story. Those are the sinners who want to listen, and those who think they're righteous and have no reason to listen. Those are the two kinds of people that Jesus tells this story to. And the first part of the story, we learn that God is a seeking God, that he is after both people. You have to get the nature of God. God does not abandon anyone. He is after both those who are listening, and he's after those who are not listening. He's not different with different people. He is the same. He's seeking them. And when one that was lost, not listening, is found, the Heavenly Father rejoices in that great and amazing miracle that happens. And the story that I want to focus on today is the story of the parable of the lost son. It's such a profound, profound story. Now, Jesus continues, and not surprisingly, the man has two sons. What do you think the two sons represent? Both, when the story begins, both are sinners. Both of them. And God is seeking them as he seeks all sinners. He doesn't seek the two boys the same way because they're different. But he is seeking them. And so this story is a story about young men who are on a journey of faith. And the first part of the story is about the younger son. And the younger son is not quite as disciplined as the older son. He's not quite as organized as the older son. He's not quite as faithful as the older son. He's a little bit more interested in himself. And so the younger son begins a journey. And he goes on a journey, and I call it the journey into self. He goes on a journey into himself. And the journey begins with, give me my share of the inheritance because I'm entitled to it, and it's what I should get, and you should just do what I want you to do. And so it's clearly a me-centered journey. It's him wandering off into the world of self. And that world includes, and the way that he tries to satisfy self, it includes all of the worldly pleasures. You see, what he doesn't realize at this point in time is that what happens with all sinners is they get to a point where they recognize that their soul has an infinite need to feel valued. And so they try to fill this hole inside of them with all the things that are pleasing to self. And as Emma read for us, prostitutes, loose living, spending money, see what my money can get me. And just buy as much as I can in this world, and then I'll be happy, right? If I can just own a whole bunch of stuff, that's how it's going to work out, and I'll feel better about myself if I have a lot of stuff, or if I have a lot of fun, or if I get to do what makes me happy, if I get to do what my heart desires. I'm not hurting anybody else. I can do whatever I want to do. Right? That's a journey into self. And so he goes into self, and God is seeking him. God is after this boy. He's after this young man. And so when the young man was home and he's beating his chest demanding what is his entitlement from his father, God is seeking this boy. And when he goes on his journey and he goes, it says, far away. That's what Jesus says. The boy went far away. Why does the boy go far away? Yeah, he wants to be able to do whatever he wants to do. He didn't want anybody he knows seeing him. He didn't want anybody he knows watching him because he's on a journey into self. And on that journey into self, God is seeking him. And the only way he can get to this boy is to bring him to his knees. This boy's got to come to the end of himself in order for God to make a difference in his life. And there's this astounding thing that happens in this young man's life. And I want you to gloss over it. It's one of the most profound things that can happen in the life of a human being. He came to his senses. He came to his senses. That is a miracle. Because you and I both know people who go on this journey to self and they never really get out of it. Their whole life is about themselves. Their whole life is about being happy. Their whole life is about being miserable. That's what happens when you live your life on a journey towards self. But somehow the miracle of the Spirit of God comes into this boy's heart. And he is destitute. He's eating food that he was feeding to the pigs. He wants it. And he comes to a sense. Remember what he says. He says, why am I doing this? My father has provision for me more than I can imagine. And so he begins. The only way a soul that is on the journey to self can find satisfaction. He turns around and he starts going home. He starts going back to the Father where he belongs. And that is the only answer for a wandering soul that is captured by self. And as he turns around, he begins to do something. And I've had this, I call it the walk of shame. I've had this walk of shame when I've hurt the feelings of people that I love. And God's come to me and brought me to my senses. And I got to turn around and walk back. I got to go back. And so I know what he's doing. He turns around and he begins to say to himself, my father, my father, my father, my father has provision for everything. And then he starts the critical transformation of his life. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And remember, he went a far way off. And so from a far way off, he begins to recite to himself what he's going to say to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And with every step and every mile that he takes, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. You see, something has genuinely happened to this young man. And he draws near. He draws near to his home. He knows the way home. He knows how to get home. Every soul knows how to get home to the Father. And so off he goes. He repents, but he doesn't quite know how the Father's going to respond. You see, if the Father had responded justly, this would be a different story. But that's not how the Father responds to a soul that repents. And so as he draws near, the Father, did you see this? Runs to him. The father runs to him. You see the lane leading up to the house, and the father runs to the son and puts his arm around him, and the son begins. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be... And in the middle of the whole thing, the father says, bring the fatted calf. He doesn't even let him finish his apology. You know why? Because the father doesn't care. He doesn't care why it happened. He doesn't care what you did. He doesn't care where you went. He doesn't care how you spent everything. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care. All he cares about is my son was lost and now he's found. That's all God cares about. And there is a celebration. You see, because the lost has been found. Somebody say amen. You know, lost things can be found. God is a seeking God. He is after every soul that's ever walked that journey into self. Meanwhile, and that's the word, meanwhile, we have the other son. What's the other son doing while all this is happening? He's working, and what we don't realize is he's also on a journey into self. He's on a journey into himself. See, but his journey is not like the younger son's journey. His journey is different. His journey is, it's more difficult to break through. God is seeking this older boy, but he's busy, ready for this? He's busy doing the right thing. He's really busy doing the right thing. He's busy making sure that he's righteous. And that leads to some really difficult places. Because for those who go on the journey of self in a self-righteous manner, they have to cope with that's not fair. And that is hard. That is more difficult than starving in a pig's pen. It's hard for God to break through. That's not fair. You know why? Because the elder son never recognizes that he's a sinner. God can't break through until that happens. It can't. He thinks he's not a sinner. He thinks he's righteous. He says it. I've always done the right thing. I've never rebelled against you. I've never done anything wrong. I'm a good person. How can you do this to me? And he is coming to the highlight of his journey into self that ends like this. Look at how this journey ends with his father. I want you to know, the father seeks that elder boy out. He leaves the party and goes and seeks that older son out. God is a seeking God. He doesn't abandon him in his journey into self. He goes and seeks him out. And as he goes to him, he begins to have a conversation with him. And you look at the words of the elder son. You look at the language that is used. The father invites him. Everybody gets invited. Invites him to the party. Everybody's invited to the banquet. No exceptions. Everybody's invited. But not everybody wants to come in. And that's on them. This is now on the elder son. The father made it clear. I love you. I want you to come in and celebrate with us. And here's what he says. Here's the distinction. The elder brother says, when this son of yours came home, you celebrated with him, but you never even gave me anything. You know what the father says to him? When this brother of yours came home, you should have celebrated. You see, the journey into self will either lead us to our knees in humility, or it will lead us away from the narrow door in pride. Which of the two, the sinner or the righteous, would you rather be? Honestly, in your life right now, which of the two, when you're coming up to the narrow door, Jesus is on, he's ready to shut the door. He's ready, he's got the door, he's holding it open. When you're standing at the narrow door, which do you want to be? Do you want to be the sinner or you want to be the righteous? Which do you want to be? Say it, come on. This is, you got to be the sinner. If you're not the sinner, you're not getting in. It's just like that. If you're the righteous, he doesn't know you. You never listened. You never listened to what he's telling you. And so the challenge for us is to learn to listen. It's not that I don't have value. It's not that I'm not an important person. It's not that. It's the opposite of that. He loves me too much to leave me the way I am. He just won't let it be. That's how God works. And so the father, I know what he's doing. He's celebrating with the younger son, and he's still seeking the older son. He's still after him. That boy has got to come to the end of himself. That's the only way that he's going to meet his real father. Would you pray with me? Father, I come before you, ask your blessing, Lord, on this word. And I pray that you would deeply, deeply bless us as we learn and grow in faith. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves for who we are, sinners who need a Savior. Simple as that. And every day, Lord, help us to be aware of that which would transform our lives and those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let's continue our